You guys wait for your moment, and then the sun sets. Madam McGuffel says, "Is that horrible sky demon gone?"
Yes, madam, the sun has set.
Good. Then the time has come to go look at naked boys.
Your greatness, this is a momentous occasion. Not that I want to undermine your fun, but...
You royal guard take your lives too seriously. Cherry says, "Paul, do you remember where I took you when we kidnapped those other guild members?"
You mean your little summer home or wherever?
That's the one. When you're ready to leave and rejoin your parents, I'm going to sew their location into a pillowcase in the upstairs bedroom on the left-hand side. That property is paid off. It should take a while for anyone to realize it's been abandoned. So take your time, whenever it's safe, whenever you're ready.
All right. Thank you, Cherry. I appreciate this.
Well, we've come this far. But I tell you what, if things work out with the dragon, give me a call. Maybe we can work together again.
I feel like you just don't learn, Cherry.
Well, life's just one foot in front of the other. You know, times of instability sometimes lead to times of opportunity. So, who knows?
All right, I'll remember your resume, if I live. Elvis, Lowry, Bethara, McGoffel, you ready?
I'm sorry, what did you call me?
Madam McGoffel, her greatness.
That's what I thought.
Sorry, madam, we might have to be incognito, and we'll have to be less formal with one another while we're on the streets.
Oh, I see.
You know, I'm loath to point out the trends of clothing, but typically people walk the streets in dresses. You don't go totally naked unless you're highly enlightened like I am.
Well, I didn't pack a dress. All I have is a traveling thong.
Well, that's going to attract a lot of attention. So I say just take it all off. Go naked.
But Lowry, wouldn't she stand out as, you know, like, too much of a free thinker? Unless she was going around saying that fish control the government, in which case then she's, like, a regular level of free thinker that everyone in the city is used to.
The city is built along a river. Fish do partially control the government. Or hadn't you noticed the influence of the fish industry?
Yeah, Madam McGoffel, you could go naked, but you're gonna just have to repeat everything that Lowry says.
Well, all right, look... You human, you're wearing pants underneath your robes, aren't you? Just cut the bottom part of the robes off. I'll wear it around my waist like a skirt.
Okay, well, I mean, like, a sword's not a great cutting implement, but I mean, yeah, okay. I'll cut off the bottom part of my robe and give it to her as a skirt.
Shouldn't you cut it shorter? This goes all the way to the ground.
Well, traditionally, that's how they wear it.
They don't show off any leg?
Well, not usually, no.
Then how do the other women know to envy your beauty?
Oh, on the surface, they do it all with makeup.
Oh. Weird.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of the details, but, like, you need rouge?
That's unusually classist. You know, like, everyone can have a firm butt, not everybody can afford the finest makeup.
Well, showing off your wealth is part of the point, I think.
But that's why you wear jewels on your thong. There's these different...
Well, you wear those around your neck on the surface.
Okay, it sounds like they've got everything backwards. They put all the attention on the upper stuff.
Yeah, kind of.
Which I guess makes sense. They live on the surface, so they pay attention to the top-level things and ignore the bottom.
Well, we don't... Ignore the bottom.
Okay, a skirt is adequate. Let's go, please.
All right, you guys head into town, and the fact that Madam McGoffel glows in the dark does attract attention from people who are out at night.
Hey, you! Fish control the city. We live on a river. Do the math!
But Lowry successfully drives their attention away. Soon, Paul, with the night still young, you find yourself before your old temple.
Oh, hey, Paul. I should have mentioned this before. But before we go in, I could actually use a new suit of armor. I could go back to my parents' house and get one real quick.
I don't know if we have time.
Well, they live in the same district. It's like 10 minutes.
All right. You go ahead.
Wait, you're just going to go in alone?
I'm not going to be alone. I've got Madam McGoffel, Lowry, Bethara.
Oh, on that note, actually, maybe I should take Madam McGoffel with me.
No way. I'm sticking with the royal guard. I'm not going to go off in a strange town with you.
Madam McGoffel, in all fairness, I am terrified of you. You exploded a guy into bugs.
It was spiders, which are not technically bugs, and it was supposed to be centipedes, but I got flustered in the moment.
Either way, if you stay with Paul, you're going to be with a dragon and Lowry and in a den of...
Of naked men.
Of naked men, right. I forgot, that's why you really wanted to go.
Take Bethara.
Well, I don't expect to get in a fight. I just wanted you to be safe.
You know what, though, Bethara says. Maybe it would be a good idea for me to go with you. I'm not ready to play my hand just yet anyway, so I didn't plan on being that useful right away.
Oh, okay. I'll take Bethara. I guess, Paul, will you be fine with everybody else?
Yeah. I guess, Madam McGoffel, can you set off a signal flare if we need it?
What is a signal flare?
Like an explosion in the sky.
Oh, no. No, I can summon centipedes, and they might glow. I don't know how far away you could see them, though. Look, if you want a signal, why don't we just do vibrations through the earth?
Because do you think that'll be effective on the surface?
Well, it carries for miles. He's not trained to decipher the signal codes, but I can at least let him know that if we're in danger, and he hears the thrum, thrum, thrum of the signal, that he needs to move fast.
Right, yes. So, could you give a sample of what that sounds like, so Elvis knows what he's listening for?
Okay, here we go. She rubs her hands together, and then, Sagua Sun Fa! She slaps her hands down on the earth. And Elvis, you hear a thrum, thrum, thrum. It sounds like the Earth's heart beating. That was just a quiet one, but when I do the signal for real, you'll hear it for miles. Everyone will know what's happening, but only you will know the true meaning.
Oh, it's like a drum signal.
Is that what you use on the surface? Drums?
Yeah, drums or gongs or other loud instruments.
Oh, yeah. I guess they wouldn't be obstructed by caverns or anything.
Okay, I got it. When I hear the Earth drums, I'll come sprinting back.
All right, see you soon.
And Elvis heads off. Paul, what now?
Okay. All right.
Come on, let's go. Let's look at the naked men.
Yeah. I'm getting ready. I'm just psyching myself up.
Why are you so nervous? Haven't you seen naked men all the time?
Huh? No.
Oh, I see present company excluded.
Are you a male?
This whole plan is going to go completely to pieces. We know nothing about each other. We're not on the same wavelengths.
Look, I've read the books. I know about all you men in the barracks, all so close to one another all the time. How could you resist?
Look, I was only part of the Royal Guard for a short while, but I can tell you whatever you've been reading, those are fictional stories.
Oh, I'm sure that they embellish, but it's all based on a grain of truth.
No, it is not. They're very respectful of the privacy of the men. They gave me a private room when I asked.
Well,
for
sure,
one.
Maybe they're not going to invite some stuffy unfeliton to the all-boys party.
You know, this is crazy. I shouldn't be nervous. I should just, that's it. I go in.
You go through the front gates, and it just so happens that Brother Bubblegum is out there exercising in the courtyard. He sees you guys and goes, "Hey, brah, what can I do for you?" "Oh, Larry, I'm supposed to tell Namir if you come back. I think you're wanted for some kind of crime."
Bigger than that, could you tell Namir that the Dark Bottom has something important to discuss with him?
Okay, the Dark Bottom. That's not a racist thing, is it?
No, it's a geographical location. It's not a reference to somebody's skin color.
All right, gotcha. I'll tell him. And Bubblegum hurries off. He returns with Namir and some of the other monks are following. Probably word got around quick. It's not that big of a temple. Namir sees Madame McGoffel and you, Paul, still dressed as a guard, and he says, "Welcome to the temple. I'm not familiar with the Dark Bottoms."
You can drop the act, Namir. The Dark Bottoms are well aware of you.
You know, I'm also not that well acquainted with you. I recognize that you're that weird lizard person who started showing up all the time, creating a bunch of trouble.
That's right. And I've been to the Dark Bottoms, where I met some of your accomplices. And I also tried to bite the queen, but I've realized that was wrong. The point is, I was not acting on a false pretense, and you were, which makes you more ethically terrible.
Well, look, I'm very confused by these accusations. If we could just discuss this more privately.
Now, hold on. Absolutely not. I prefer my rants to be as public as possible, and I've been thinking for a long time about what I would say to you when I got back to the surface. See, I've been thinking a lot about your ideology. You have to work your body hard so you can throw your soul into heaven, and I think that's pretty cool. That's actually a really good ideology. I like that a lot. But I've discovered that what we think is true and what we believe is ourself isn't always really ourself. I mean, like, think about it. You eat a chicken, and then you convert that chicken into muscle and vitamins and stuff. Where does the man begin and the chicken end? When you throw your soul into heaven, do you have to also throw the chicken's soul? And I mean, just because you're not digesting something, if you put it in your body, is it kind of part of your body? It's like a similar principle. So if you were to, say, store a bunch of magic rocks in your gizzard, they would still be a part of you in a way.
What are you talking about? Did you come up from the Dark Bottoms to wage a theological discussion against me?
You stand accused of crimes against Queen Eloria.
McGoffel says, "Yeah, I honestly don't know why the lizard guy is with us still. But the fact is, you have been accused of fraud, acting under false pretenses, and attempting to murder a guest sanctioned by Queen Eloria herself. Because you stand accused as a foreigner and do not fall squarely within Queen Eloria's authority, you are not permitted to stand trial before Eloria's courts. Instead, you must stand trial before the gods themselves. To clear yourself of these accusations, I hereby demand a trial by combat. To refuse is to accept guilt. How do you plead?" Namir goes, "A trial by combat? Do I have to battle myself? Who am I fighting, the lizard guy?" McGoffel says, "I have with me here one of Loria's royal guard. You will battle him in single combat. You may set the terms as the challenged." Okay, look, there's obviously a diplomatic way that we could approach this. "Even if you were to crawl your way to the Dark Bottoms now and throw yourself before Queen Eloria, this is the fashion in which disputing clans settle their differences. You cannot hope for a fair trial before Queen Eloria, as you are not one of her subjects. She would rule against you as a matter of fact. Trial by combat is the only manner."
"But what does that entail? Is it a fight to the death? Can one of us surrender?"
"To the death is the only method that provides certainty. You will battle to the death. The gods will choose the righteous party.
Well, you're on the surface, and that's not how we do things. I can't consent to that. Then I'll leave and report this finding to Queen Aloria, and you'll find yourself no longer in her good graces. Namir kind of looks around at the assembled monks, and he says, Well, all right, let's... You have to understand, I don't know who the Dark Bottoms are, but I'm sure that the City Council would be frustrated if I were to create some kind of international incident over a misunderstanding like this, so... Let's suppose that I accept the terms. What happens then? When do we do this challenge?
Immediately, or I'll leave.
All right, fine. He nods to you, Paul, and he says, Then my terms are unarmed combat here in the courtyard.
The terms are accepted, Paul. She waves you on. She says, Go.
Namir takes a few steps back. He squares off with you and then bows to you.
All right, line up with him. Bow in return.
I hope your people don't find a lot of egg on their face when you're defeated.
So many things could have gone differently, sir.
I'm sorry, what's that? Namir takes a defensive stance and he starts to circle slowly to your left.
Nothing.
Namir waves you forward and he says, Come on, I'll let you have the first hit.
All right, well, I'll walk up and hit him.
Okay, you walk up and Namir tries to dodge, but you belt him in the face. He's not very agile and he's a heavy guy. His glasses shatter and he pulls him off and he says, Oh, whoops. He picks a little glass out of his cheek and then he throws him off to the side. And he says, Forgot about those. It's been a while since I've been in a fight.
Why'd you do all this?
I don't know what you're talking about, and that is an earnest statement. Listen, I'm still trying to get information about what happened with Torvald and everyone when he went down there. Whatever happened, I didn't order it.
I don't mean that. Going back everywhere, everything. Why the cat people? Why all the secrecy and the backstabbing?
Same reason as any politician does anything. To climb the ladder, wealth, influence. I'll go up in the curator's order if I can find out information that other people don't have. Look, I swear to you, this is all a big misunderstanding. If you can play dead, we might be able to find a place for you somewhere in the curator order. We do all kinds of secretive work.
All you do is use people. You're disgusting.
Paul, in the course of this conversation, Namir wipes the blood off of his face, and you realize that the bleeding he was going through has stopped. McGoffel says, Come on, kill him!
All right, I slug him again.
Well, he kind of just takes it, but it doesn't put him down, and he goes, All right, that was your one. Now it's not free anymore. And he rushes in for a tackle, but you sprawl and stop him. And he goes, Okay, all right, I see you know your ground fighting. And all right, Paul, you've got equal speed to him, so he goes, you go. So back to you.
All right, well, I've sprawled on him, knee him in the head.
All right, you go to knee him in the head, and he gets his arms out in front of him, blocks it, and he goes for a reversal. He grabs your leg, and he takes you down.
Whoops, okay, I try to kick out from underneath him.
Okay, no, not this time. He's got you locked in pretty good. Being more of a grappler, he is actually comfortable letting you roll over on top of him, but he's got you in a guard position, and then he tries to trap your neck with his legs. He sort of lets you loose as though he's going to let you escape, but then he holds your arm as you pull out, and then boom, he's got his legs around your neck, and you are suffocating.
Oh my god. Okay, amateur mistake. Shoot. Take the claws and try to scratch up his thigh.
All right, you dig your claws into his thigh, and he goes, ow, 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 dang, your nails are sharp. But he doesn't let go, and Paul, your endurance is ticking away. Each second, you're losing one endurance. For Namir's turn, he just continues to hold you.
Okay, this is a fight to the death. I'm gonna just try to reach up into his crotch and go for the groin.
Okay, you just reach up in there with your claws, grab hold, and squeeze. And Namir, oh, and he kicks you away as fast as he can. You do some damage, though. And he kicks away, he does about 3 body to you, but now you're loose.
Okay, he's still on the ground, right?
Yeah, he hasn't gotten up yet.
Okay, I get up. I'm seeing stars a little bit from that suffocation, but I kick him.
All right, you slap your leg on his rump, and then Namir gets up himself, and he goes, All right, we need to establish some ground rules.
Yeah, all right, ground rule 1. Don't take me to the ground.
Okay, I can see how that's not going to work for me.
Well, if he's not going to attack me again, I'm going to hit him.
All right, you throw another combo. Bang, bang, bang! Namir is still standing, but Paul, are you pretty winded by now?
I mean, I'm not great, but I'm not gassed yet.
All right, well, Namir's not exerting himself a whole lot, so he's not even struggling.
How are you still up?
A good servant of Glute learns to be as immovable as a mountain. And Namir goes in for another tackle, which he gets.
Ah.
Your back hits the ground and Namir has you again.
All right, try to get out.
Once again, he's got you locked in.
If only someone had trained me properly in the martial arts!
Well, I suppose you better take that up with whoever trained you, not me. Then he tries to give you some wiggle room to roll over on your side. You fall for the bait. He gets a rear naked choke.
Oh, no, 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 no!
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Okay, claws out, tear at the arms, try to shred him.
You get your claws up there and you start peeling away at the flesh, but Namir is stunningly resistant to pain, and he just
clinches it all the harder.
Okay, that's it. We are pretty much out of endurance. I'm going to start dipping into stun now. I'm blacking out.
All right, well, he holds you. So unless you think of something miraculous, this is your last 5 seconds of life. Any last words, he says? Not that you can speak.
I yank off my mask.
All right, startled to see that he's strangling to death a cat person, he lets you go. And then he sees that it's you, and he says, Paul? McGoffel goes, a cat person?
Okay, take a full turn recovery.
All right, you sit there and suck wind as stars float before your eyes. Namir yells, what is this? What is this? And he pushes you off him, and he yells at McGoffel, what is this?
Okay, take another turn of recovery.
All right, Paul, you're starting to get the feeling back into your extremities. McGoffel says, it's a cat person, evidently. Namir turns to you, Paul, and he says, are you working for them?
I could tell you, but I'd have to charge you, right?
All right, you get another recovery, and I assume that you're probably mostly back on your feet. Namir still has fresh wounds on his arm where you scratched him up, but those wounds have closed.
You lied to me all my life.
Now look, Paul, you're in over your head. You don't know what these people are like or what they stand for.
I don't know what you stand for.
That's it. I'm calling off this whole farce, this tri-block combat, whatever you want to call it.
No, he isn't. Okay, Mason, I'm going to line up two actions back to back.
All right, his guard is down, so it's going to be like a surprise and then one more hit.
Namir, sir, I have an important message. The first message is a full combo strike to the face, and then a multi-attack for a second full combo strike in the face. And then, on a second turn, another full combo strike to the face. Multiple attack, a fourth complete combo to the face.
All right, in a flash, you utterly pulp Namir. He stumbles backwards, he falls down, you lunge down on top of him. You sit on his chest and continue pounding away until there is pretty much nothing left of the man's skull. Whatever supernatural regeneration abilities he had, they cannot keep up with this raw fury. The whole place is dead silent.
Well, I guess now he's gonna see if he can throw his great big fat soul to heaven.
All right, meanwhile, Elvis, you get back to your parents' house. When you let yourself in, you find a note on the table. Your parents are nowhere to be found. The note reads, your parents have been arrested. Come and talk to me about it. We'll see what we can do. Best wishes, Chip.